and touch up on the mid Apex fight card next week with Shamil Gaziev versus Jarzinho Rosenstrike. Let's get into it. All right, so we had a pretty good fight night last week, you know. We went to Mexico City, and as always, when the UFC goes somewhere instead of goes to the Apex, they put on some pretty good fighters, you know. And it turned out to be a good night of fights. I really enjoyed it personally. Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval was at the headliner, and it was a very fast-paced, action-packed fight. Super close. On one side, you had Brandon Royval coming forward the whole time, throwing crazy combinations, a lot of punches that were just thrown at like 20 or 30%, just to rack up volume, you know, just hitting them boom, 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 mixing in like one power shot for every three or four light shots, you know. You know, Merab Dvalishvili / Carlos Condit-esque in the striking realm. And, you know, just stayed in Moreno's face, in the former champ's face the whole time. Moreno, on the other hand, started off doing pretty well. I think the altitude might have got to him. I know Royval trains in Denver. Moreno moves around a bit. But, you know, it just seemed like he really started to gas as the fight went on. And I think he might have even hurt his left hand at some point. I don't know if I didn't see any post-fight medicals or anything to confirm or deny that, but it seemed like he stopped throwing it altogether at some point in the fifth round. He just started throwing his right hand. I don't know if that was a tactical thing or if his left hand broke or was hurting or something like that. But he started off the fight very strong, I felt. You know, first round, second round, I gave to Moreno personally. I thought it was, you know, close rounds. First round for sure, Moreno. Second round, I thought was closer. You could give it to Royval, but I felt like Moreno did enough personally. Third round, I thought was clearly Royval's round. He pushed the pace a little bit and, you know, had the more effective offense in that round. And the fourth round, same deal. I felt like Royval came on really strong in that round. I think that was probably his clearest round in the fight was the fourth round. Then the fifth round, I felt like Moreno won. I thought it was, again, a super close round where the volume for Royval was just, you know, stocking up. But I felt like Moreno landed the bigger shots. I know he was pretty one-dimensional in that round and did, you know, try to stall position. But, you know, I really felt like the breakups from Herb Dean were very rushed in this fight. I don't know why he was so quick to break the fight up when they got to the cage. I mean, I know the offense wasn't incredible, but they were working. It's not like they were just, you know, holding each other. It felt like Moreno was trying to get him down and he couldn't. So he'd throw a couple strikes and then, you know, Herb Dean would take him out of the position before you knew it. So that was an interesting choice from the official and Herb Dean. But you know, regardless, that fifth round was super close. I think it came down to that round. I remember thinking that it was 2-2 going into the fifth, that Moreno had the early edge and Royval had that later edge. But then, you know, that fifth round was very close, and I felt like Moreno just landed a little bit more effective strikes in the round. So I gave it to him personally. I wouldn't be upset. I mean, the fight did go the other way. I wouldn't be upset if it went either way. I mean, I was a little bit upset because I had the bets on Moreno, but, you know, that it is what it is. You know, you got to gamble what you're only willing to lose. But, yeah, so Royval got a huge upset there in the main event just by virtue of being in the fight the whole time and never waning or giving way to anything. Dude is all heart and super tough. And, yeah, just fucking got it done, man. It was awesome. It was dope. Yeah, so that was the main event. Pretty good fight. Probably a good rewatch, I'd imagine, but, you know, I thought it was pretty clear-cut. Not clear-cut, but, you know, there was no, like, huge moments necessarily in the fight. It was mostly just a competitive fight. I don't think they even got fight of the night. But, you know, it was a good fight nonetheless, and I kind of feel bad for Brandon Moreno here. Felt like, you know, he fought his ass off. Maybe didn't have the best game plan in this fight, or the best tactics as the fight drew on. But I felt like he did enough to win, and it sucks that he's not going to get another chance at the Pantoja fight, because I do feel like he has a lot better of a chance of beating Pantoja than Roybal does. His fight was much closer than Roybal's fight with Pantoja. So it's a shame in that sense. And, you know, a similar situation in the co-main where I felt like, you know, I'm happy for the guy that won, but I still feel like the other guy had a better matchup against the current champion. So it kind of doesn't bode well for the division. Not to say that, you know, champions getting title defenses doesn't bode well for the division, but it just is a little bit more interesting when the matchup, the defenses are like their toughest matchups, you know? So yeah, that being said, Roybal's probably going to get a title shot off of this. If not, he'll fight Albazi, I guess, and get a title shot, whoever wins that fight. You got Cape and Makhachev in the wings here. Makhachev fighting on next week's card, which we'll talk about in a few. But yeah, so pretty good win there for Roybal. Solid stuff in the main event, and a five-round affair at flyweight, which, you know, usually is hard to not deliver. 5 rounds at flyweight or bantamweight are usually pretty sweet. And then the co-main event, we had Brian Ortega versus Yair Rodriguez. I didn't realize that this fight was going to be 5 rounds, and then I saw it on the ticker that they had 5 rounds scheduled. I was very excited for that. This is a fight that I was really confident in Yair Rodriguez coming into this, and in that first round, he, you know, was proving me all the right. He dropped Ortega several times in that first round and was really putting it on him. You know, there was several points where I felt like the fight, you know, maybe not could have got stopped, but was a couple of strikes away from being stopped in that first round. And I felt like Yair made a very critical error, one that we talked about a couple weeks ago with Amanda Lemos versus Mackenzie Dern, where I guess it was last week, where Lemos drops Dern, and then instead of, you know, just backing up and telling her to stand up, she jumps into the guard to try to finish her, you know, jumping in the guard of a world-class jiu-jitsu player, a jiu-jitsu world champion in Dern, and in this case, in Brian Ortega, a very strong jiu-jitsu player. And Yair just gave him enough time, you know, gave him the position and time to stall and recover, whereas I feel like if he would have just backed up and told him to stand up, he would have been on very shaky legs and, you know, one or two strikes from getting finished there. So kind of bad decision-making there from Yair. You know, he didn't lose the fight in that sequence, but he lost some momentum, I felt. Or maybe not lost momentum, but, you know, his momentum slowed down considerably, for sure. And then as soon as Ortega got to the top position, it was just like, it was bad, you know. We forget that Yair is very weak on the bottom, you know. It's always been something that people have exploited from him his whole career. You know, I remember him getting the dog piss beat out of him by Frankie Edgar, like 2015. One of Frankie Edgar's best performances, you know, turning back a young, hungry contender in Yair. And, you know, then continuing on, he got exploited against, what's his name? The you know, the GOAT, the former champion, Alexander Volkanovski, was able to use that wrestling to Yair's disadvantage. And here, Brian Ortega, who is, you know, one of the worst wrestlers in the division, even though he's one of the best grapplers, he's a very bad wrestler. And he was able to get Yair down and just beat him up on the ground. So it was a pretty interesting fight there. Ortega was, you know, all heart. Came back from those big knockdowns in the first round to wear down Yair and get him down and beat him up. And in the third round, Yair pretty much gave him that arm triangle. It was pretty sad. He threw up his arm like this and pretty much put himself right into the arm triangle. And Ortega, you know, being a world-class jiu-jitsu player, is going to snatch up if you give him a submission. And was able to get that finish there, man. So big underdog spot in the co-main event and the main event. We went with the favorites, unfortunately, but you still love to see the dogs win for people who bet on them and just for them in general. Daniel Zellhuber and Francisco Prado had an awesome fight, blood and guts war. Zellhuber needed something like this in his career. I think he's going to learn a lot from this fight. I think he's going to come back very strong. So that's awesome for him. He was able to pick up the victory here in a hard-fought fight. Definitely one to rewatch if you guys haven't seen it. Yasmin Uriwai did her thing against Sam Hughes in a squash matchup. She was a minus like 900 favorite at the closing, which I felt was exorbitant, but she showed that it wasn't by beating her soundly, 30-27. Manuel Torres got a pretty nice submission there on Chris Duncan early in the fight. Hany Barcelos had a veteran performance in every sense of the word. Excuse me, by you know, using the fence grabs. And finally, eventually finding a choke against Christian Quinones in that third round. Quinones did not look great in the fight, but those fouls certainly did not help his case. You know, it is what it is. I like seeing Jaime Barcelos get a win at this stage of his career. You know, whether or not it was a clean win or not, it is what it is, you know. Kind of like a monkey's paw situation, you know. All right, so then you have Jesus Santos Aguilar versus Mateus Mendoza. I really felt like this was a bad decision on the judge's part. I had Mendoza in this fight. I felt like it was an easy matchup for him. I mean, it was a closer fight than I thought it'd be, but I thought it was a clear victory for Mendoza. You know, he was able to have a lot more control time in the fight, even had better striking. There was only like maybe like 3-4 minutes in the third round, or, you know, 2 or 3 minutes rather, where Aguilar was in control. And, you know, I didn't feel like that was enough for him to even win that round, necessarily win him the fight. But it is what it is. Judges went with their boy. Edgar Chiarez got it done against Daniel Lacerda, like we all have suspected for a while now. And finally put the capstone in one of the trilogies of all time in MMA, certainly one of the trilogies, or rivalries rather. First, Ziam put a good fight on against Claudio Pelas. It was a close one, but I felt like Ziam did enough to win. But, you know, judges had it split. I didn't catch that Rodriguez-Bondar fight, but I saw that it was an awesome finish, you know, buzzer beater. Felipe Dos Santos, again, looked pretty solid against Victor Alcher Arminio, but I felt like he was a little bit, you know, not engaging as much as I wanted him to, you know, throwing single shots when I felt like he could have got off a lot more combinations like he was able to do in that Manel Cop fight. But, you know, nonetheless, good performance there and gets a victory over a really tough guy in Victor Altamirano. And then Muhammad Naimov got a victory over Eric Silva very early into the fight, and that rounds out the card. You know, Mexico City was a lot of fun. High altitude in the arena, so, you know, we did see some fights get very close down the wire as both guys got very tired. But that being said, it was a solid night of fights overall, and main event was pretty fun, action packed fight. So I'd say that was a success. And next week, we are coming back to the Apex, everybody's favorite basement in Las Vegas, to watch fights in. And we got a 5-round heavyweight fight. Woo, let's go. 5 rounds of heavyweight in the Apex, everybody's favorite. We have Jarzynia Rozenstruik versus Shamil Gaziev. This guy's one fight in the UFC against Martin Boudet, who, to be fair, is a very tough opponent to make a debut against. And he looked very impressive in that fight, showing really great boxing work inside in the clinch positions and in that very tight range. Got Boudet to the fence and kind of just like unloaded on him, put on good combinations there, and seemed to really start to, you know, grow as the fight was developing. I think it was in the second round, if I'm not mistaken. Let me search that up just to confirm. But either way, you know, I remember thinking that the guy had a pretty good performance there for his first fight in the UFC. And against a pretty tough guy in Martin Boudet. Yeah, second round, only like a minute into it. I remember thinking that he could have got it done in the end of the first, but it was really close. But anyway, dude seems pretty impressive, but he has only one fight in the UFC. And he draws UFC light or heavyweight veteran Jarzynia Rozenstruik, you know, fought for an interim title before against Ciryl Gane, I think it was. If I'm not mistaken, that was for a title. I might be tripping there. Don't quote me on that. No, it was not for a title. But anyway, the guy's been in the division for a long time. His big weakness that everybody knows about is his grappling. He lays like a fish on his back when he gets taken down. So he's not the biggest threat on the ground, but he is a very strong kickboxer and striker. Gaziev is looks like a very tough customer, and he's a huge heavyweight, which definitely counts for something. Size counts in heavyweight division. But I just feel like it might be a little bit too much too soon. At least, you know, we only have a small sample size to work with in that last fight, in that one fight, you know. But I think we might be looking at a Bousmagomedov versus Sean Strickland situation here, where you fight a guy who might not be able to beat the top guys in the world, but he's going to turn back these dudes who aren't that experienced, you know. And Jarzynia Rozenstruik, I think, is going to play spoiler to Shamil Gaziev's coming out party here. I think it's a little early for him to be coming out. But either way, I think Jorginho gets it done. Gazeev looked very rushed is a strong word, but he looked like he wasn't, you know, very defensively sound on his entries against Boudé. When he smelled blood, he really started to unload and let it go. And, you know, that's all well and good against somebody who's going to stand there and is kind of slow like Boudé. But Jorginho Rosenstrijk is not that guy, pal. You know, he's gonna find counters when you're coming in, crashing in. He was able to catch even Francis Ngannou with a couple counters in that short fight. But, you know, obviously it doesn't matter because Ngannou has the touch of death and a very strong chin. But Jorginho is, you know, was able to find like three or four. If you watch it in slow motion, he hits him like three or four times with like leg kicks and hooks while Ngannou's crashing in. And that's the kind of guy that Jorginho is. You know, he lands a lot of counters in tight spots. And if Gazeev comes in reckless like he kind of did against Boudai, he could catch one of those counters on the chin. And Jorginho certainly has the power to put anybody's lights out at heavyweight. So I think there's a path to victory there for Jorginho for sure. But, you know, is anything with one of these like unknown fighters coming up, you never know if this guy's going to be like top five in the world or a bum off the street. You know what I mean? And it's interesting to see them get a chance at a top 10 opponent like Jorginho Rosenstrijk. So it's a good spot for Shamil Gazaev. But, you know, I tend to side with experience on matchups like this. And I think Jorginho is going to be able to get it done. But, you know, if he's a huge, we'll see what the odds are looking like. I don't know if I'm going to bet on this fight at all because, I tend to stay away from heavyweight fights. I think heavyweight fights are the division that has the most chance of any one shot knocking somebody out. So in that sense, it's kind of cool to see these like untested fighters fight top guys because, you know, they have a high chance of being able to turn things around in just a single moment in the fight. But that being said, it makes it not good to bet on. But, you know, if they have Jorginho in an underdog spot, which I doubt they will, but if they do, I'll put some money on him. If not, you know, I'll let this one slide. Then the co-main event, there's a fight that I am a lot more confident in. That's Vitor Petrino versus Tyson Pedro. Vitor Petrino, Brazilian dude, pretty sharp on the feet and seems to be very dangerous on the ground too. The guy looks very well-rounded for light heavyweight, and more than anything, he's super athletic. And I think that is a very bad concoction when you're Tyson Pedro. Tyson Pedro, on the other hand, seems to have the athletic gifts as far as the size and the reach and the strength. But, you know, maybe not the most durable and definitely not the best gas tank or the best technique. You know, I think Petrino is a brighter prospect at this stage, and I think Pedro's lost a step over the years, and I'm not sure that he had much of a step to begin with. So I'm going to go with Petrino here. I think he gets it done, likely by finish. You see Tyson Pedro beat up bums like Ike Villanueva and stuff like that, but when he fights a real, you know, talent at heavyweight, he tends to come up short. And I think that's what, or light heavyweight rather. I think he tends to come up short, and I think that's what's going to happen here against Petrino, who I expect to do pretty well in this division, and I'm excited to see if he can climb the ranks well. So I'm going to go with Petrino by finish there. And you got Alex Perez versus Muhammad Makhachev, allegedly. Alex Perez, very rare that he actually makes it to fight night for one reason or another. A lot of times he'll get injured, sick. His opponent will get injured or sick or miss weight or something. If you look at his topology record, we'll see a ton of cancellations. A lot of them, you know, the week of the fight or, you know, even in the case of, I think it was against Figueiredo, he was supposed to fight Figueiredo. It was like 4 days before the fight he had to pull out. So, you know, tough run for Alex Perez there. But he is a pretty solid fighter. We're going to, you know, break down the fight as if he is going to make it to the cage. He's a pretty solid fighter overall. He has great leg kicks, pretty strong boxing fundamentals, and, you know, decent wrestler to boot. Definitely not going to use it in, you know, maybe not going to be able to use it in this matchup against Muhammad Makhachev, but we'll see him, you know, if Muhammad goes for a lot of takedowns, I think we'll see some good scrambles out of Perez, who seems to have a very strong base and strong hips, which is, you know, good to beat a scrambly wrestler like Makhachev, or at least, you know, hold them in position. So it should be interesting if the fight goes to the ground, but I do feel like Makhachev has more tools in this fight, in this matchup. He has, you know, the pace, the pressure, obviously the explosiveness, and, you know, youth is on his side. So I do feel like it's a good matchup for Makhachev. but they do tend to inflate his odds makers, or, you know, maybe it's just like Saudi money or something coming in on him, putting his odds, inflating them. But, you know, I've seen him at like minus 1400 in some fights and fights that he almost gets finished in, it turns out. So, you know, if the odds have him at more than like minus 400, 500, I'm going to bet on Perez in the underdog spot. If I can get Perez at more than plus 250, I'm going to put a little 10 bucks on that, just because I feel like he has a grizzled vet and he might be able to do well here. But I do expect Makhachev overall to be able to get it done, likely by decision. Maybe a submission at some point, but I think it's more likely he gets a decision victory here. Just outworking Perez and scrambles and grappling him and just making it a dog fight, an ugly fight. Then you got Eric Anders versus Jamie Pickett in a fight that I am strangely confident in Eric Anders. Something I never thought I'd say is that I'm confident in Eric Anders, or Anders, rather. So I think he's going to be able to get it done here. Jamie Pickett is one of the worst fighters in the UFC, I believe. Very slow, plodding fighter who has a decent clinch, but that's about it. And I think Anders is a great wrestler. I think he's good power in his hands. I think he's kind of turned a corner lately. He's always had, you know, good tools. And, you know, I remember him taking Lyoto Machida to a very close fight back in the day, a fight that I felt he won, but the judges gave it to Machida. Yeah, Anders is a tough fighter, man. And I think he's done pretty well in these last few years. And I think he's going to get it done against Jamie Pickett here. I don't know how he's going to get it done. And I'm sure he'll be a big size favorite. If he's not, I'm certainly going to put money on him. But, you know, yeah, if he's more than minus 300, it's a tough one for me. But, you know, I do expect him to get it done probably as the fight goes on, maybe a decision victory. Then you got Umar Nurmagomedov, hopefully. He's fighting Bazkat Al-Makan, a guy making his debut, I think. I've never heard of this guy. Fucking tough call on your debut to fight Umar Nurmagomedov, but this guy looks very promising at bantamweight. It's been tough for him to get fights and for the fights to stay together when he does get them. So hopefully this fight comes together, and hopefully we see him put on a good performance here. We saw Corey Sandhagen tweet something like saying that if Umar, if Umar Nurmagomedov has a good performance here, he's willing to fight him in July or something like that. So I think that'd be awesome. Corey Sandhagen's a great fighter, and he was supposed to fight Umar Nurmagomedov before, but the fight fell apart one way or another. It is what it is. So hopefully Umar has a good performance here and we see that fight down the line, because I think that'd be awesome to put Umar right into that top, you know, five spot where I feel like he really can contend. I don't know if he beats Sandhagen, but I think it's an interesting matchup, and I think we'll see him rise to the occasion for sure. Then you have Matt Schnell versus Steve Ursig, which is my pick for sleeper fight of the night. This fight has banger written all over it. Steve Ursig, since he came into the UFC, has had some great performances. Very slick boxing. I believe he's Australian or New Zealand. I'm not sure. But he has very strict, very slick kickboxing coming out of Down Under. That is where he's from. let me just confirm before I start spreading misinformation. Yeah, he's from Perth. All right, so he's from Australia. All right, cool. I'm not crazy. He's got good boxing, good forward movement, and, you know, seems to be a really slick and tough fighter. And I'm excited to see how he develops in this division. And he draws Matt Schnell here, who has been a mainstay at flyweight since that tough season where they put all the champions together. Schnell is a very fun action fighter, maybe not the most defensively sound. We've seen him get caught before, knocked out before, you know, been in some wars, primarily the Suma Darji fight. I was there live. It was insane. Schnell got hurt so much in that fight and then came back and hurt Suma Darji in the second round, I think it was, and ended up putting him in a triangle and elbowing him and put him to sleep, and he was just like laying there in a pool of blood asleep. It was insane. It was wild. One of the craziest fights of all time, honestly, and an awesome comeback for Matt Schnell. Definitely a fight to rewatch. If you guys haven't seen it, definitely check that out. So, you know, Matt Schnell's all heart, but he does have a lot of defensive vulnerabilities on the feet, and I feel like Steve Ursig is the perfect fighter to exploit that. So I'm going to go with Ursig here. I do think Schnell is a tough customer and, you know, on his day can beat anybody at flyweight, but I think Ursig has a much more composed and methodical game, and if this fight plays out 10 times, I see Ursig winning more times often than not. Not to say that Schnell can't get it done, but I think Usyk beats him, you know, 8 times out of 10, if not, you know, more. So I'm going to go with Usyk here. Then in the prelims, you have Ludovic Klein versus Joel Alvarez. This is an awesome fight. I'm really excited for this one. I think, you know, both of these guys are very athletic and very exciting fighters at lightweight. Ludovic Klein on one side, just a dog fighter in every sense of the word, throws really hard and, you know, has good boxing and good clinch work too when it gets there. Joel Alvarez on the other side is huge for the division. He's like 6'3" or something ridiculous like that at lightweight. And it can't stop a takedown really, or, you know, if anything goes down to his back, cause he has a lot of submissions off his back, but that costs him a lot in some of these fights when he fights a good top player. On the feet, he's very dangerous, likes to throw knees cause his knee is like pretty much right next to your head anyway, if you're riding at lightweight against him, cause he's so tall. Likes to throw a lot of knees, likes to throw uppercuts, pretty solid boxer. This is a good fight, man. I'm really excited for this one. I'm not sure who wins here. If either guy is an underdog, I'm going to go with them. I think this is a dog or pass situation here. Go with the underdog or stay away from the fight because I feel like this fight's going to go either way. I do side with Ludovic Klein just because I feel like he's a little bit more tough as the fight goes on. I think he turns up turns up the pace and turns up the pressure as the fight develops versus Joel Alvarez, who I've seen kind of fade as the fight goes on. And both guys are very tough, so I do expect the fight to go a little bit longer. So I think I'm gonna go with Ludovic Klein, but you know, only if he's an underdog. If he's a favorite, I'm just gonna stay away from this one because I think it's gonna be a fun one to watch, maybe not a fun one to bet on. Next we have Ayman Zahabi versus Javid Basharat. Javid Basharat, we've been a fan of him on the podcast for a long time. He's a stud Afghani fighter, maybe a bit of a decision merchant, you know, not the best finisher, so to speak. But definitely has all the tools to beat anybody anywhere. Very clean striking, very measured approach. And when it goes to the ground, he has very methodical jiu-jitsu and tends to, you know, stay position over submission. But if you give him a submission, he'll take it for sure. But he will much more likely ride you out from top position and get you exhausted, rack up volume on the feet. And just seems to me more than anything to be a very smart fighter. I like his fight IQ a lot. And he's fighting Ayman Zahabi, who's another guy who his primary tool is his fight IQ. Obviously, from the last name, comes from the TriStar gym out there in Canada with Firas Zahabi as his head coach, his older brother. Ayman Zahabi seems to be pretty powerful, but maybe, you know, more than anything, I think his technique is his best attribute. And I've seen him get tired as the fights go on. He seems to have trouble when he fights guys who are a little bit more experienced. And although Basharat is not the most, you know, battle-tested guy, he only has so many fights. I think he's like 15 fights in or something like that. Although he doesn't have the most extensive record, he does fight like a very mature. Yeah, he has 15 fights with 14 wins. He's undefeated. That's awesome. Yeah, he did have that one no contest from, I think it was from groin shots or an eye poke or something. Yeah, it was a groin kick. It is what it is. Yeah, so undefeated fighter there in Basharat. And I expect him to stay undefeated in this fight, man. I think he has more tools than Zahabi. I think they both have a lot of tools, but I think Javid knows how and when to use them better. And I think his distance management is a lot better than Zahabi. So I expect him to stay on the outside in this fight, throw a lot of leg kicks, throw a lot of front kicks to the body, keep him on the end of the jab, and then if Zahabi ends up crashing in, I can see Basharat going for a takedown and riding out some position time there. And I expect Basharat to get this done by decision. He's a solid fighter, man. He's really good everywhere, and I think he's going to continue to rise to the top of the division. I don't know if he's going to be able to get to the top, or at least to the championship, because he doesn't have that finishing power that you really need at a very stacked division like bantamweight, but I expect him to be a mainstay in the top 10 for a long time. If he stays with the sport and continues to develop the way he has been. So I'm going to go with Basharat here by decision. I like that fight for him. Then you have Christian Leroy Duncan versus Claudio Ribeiro in a very favorable matchup, I feel, for Christian Leroy Duncan. Claudio Ribeiro is a striker who is sort of a glass cannon in a sense. If you're not familiar with that phrasing, it's somebody who hits really hard but can't take a punch back very well. So I think guys like, you know, Melvin Manhoef, Melvin Gallard, you know, to a certain extent, more recently, maybe somebody like not Drew Dober, because Drew Dober has a very good chin. But, you know, there's guys like that who if they can hit you first, they're going to knock you out. Pat Barry is a good example from back in the day. But, you know, if you can catch their chin, then you can probably put them out, you know. So that's where Claudio Ribeiro's at. In my mind, I've seen him get chinned before. And if not, you know, he does seem very strong on the feet. But he draws Christian Leroy Duncan here, who is a very methodical kickboxer and tends to string together some pretty good combinations and end them with his kicks. And I expect him to have some good success here against Ribeiro. Probably find a head kick or, you know, subsequent follow-up punch off of a kick or kick off of a punch. You know, either way, I expect him to mix the kick with the punch and catch Ribeiro at some point and be able to put him down. So I'm going to go with Christian Leroy Duncan here, likely by knockout, but I think I'm just going to go with the money line, unless they put him at a ridiculous spot, like 400 or something like that. If it's less than minus 400, I'm going to take him. And then you have Abdul Karim El-Salwadi versus Loic Radzabov. Oh, man, I did not hear about this fight. Is this guy Egyptian? That's an Egyptian-sounding name, Abdul Karim El-Salwadi. Let me find out. Pride of Palestine. Okay, he's a Palestinian fighter. Cool. All right. I honestly don't know anything about either one of these guys, so if it goes down, I'm just going to be rooting for my boy from Palestine, and, you know, call me biased. It is what it is. And then supposedly they're doing Ricky Turcios versus Raul Rosas Jr. on this fight card. It was supposed to happen last week, but I don't know what happened. I think they said Rosas Jr. pulled out minutes before the fight. In my opinion, I think he felt the altitude and knew he was going to get drowned. He's probably not going to have that problem here against Turcios, but 2 week cuts, 2 weeks back to back is really shitty for both fighters. So I don't know who's going to do well here, but still feel like Turcios is a tough fight for him because he is such a dog and so tough, and has such great cardio. I think he's going to be able to exploit, Rosas Jr.'s cardio if this fight does happen, because I'm pretty sure Turcios said something like that they announced it before they agreed to the term. So you know how the UFC loves to do that these days. Either way, if this fight does happen, I got Turcios in an underdog spot. Rosas is always kind of overinflated in the odds, in my opinion. So we'll see how it goes. But overall, you know, this is a pretty solid card, all things considered. At first glance, I thought it was kind of shit, but there are some pretty good fighters on here. Victor Petrino, you got Muhammad Makhachev, you got Javid Bashara, Umar Nurmagomedov, Anders versus Pickett. Joel Alvarez is fighting. So, you know, this is a pretty good card, man. Altogether, it's not so bad. And the main event might not be great, but the rest of the fights are pretty solid. So, you know, let's hope it all turns out pretty well. Shit, I forgot to do the betting slip, didn't I? Well, you know, you heard it. Bashara by decision. There's not a lot much more on this card. I'm going to go for Victor Petrino by finish. I think that's it. Let's go with those two. All right, stay tuned, stay blessed, and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening. Take it easy.